"Now, Snagsby," says Mr. Tulkinghorn, "to go over this odd story again."
"If you please, sir."
"You told me when you were so good as to step round here last night."
"For which I must ask you to excuse me if it was a liberty, sir, but I remember that you'd taken a sort of an interest in that person, and I thought it possible that you might just wish to—"
Sid was trying to read the newspaper, while Kath, to relieve the boredom of ironing, was watching a film on television at the same time.
"Do we have to have this on?"
"Course we do. I'm watching it, aren't I?"
"Ain't there else else on?"
"Look, I'm interested in it."
"You'll watch out."
"It's good."
"Good. I'd sooner watch paint drying."
Sid picked up the newspaper again and tried to find something easier to read in the sports section.
"It's time our Janet were in, ain't it?"
"She'll not be long now. I told her 10:15.
"Where's she gone to? A school dance?"
"A disco. They're raising money for a school bus."
There was the sound of the kitchen door opening, and moments later Janet came through into the living room. Kath said,
"Hello, love. Have you had a nice time?" "Great. Michael Clayton and Robert Booth got thrown out for coming in drunk. They're to see Mr. Slater at morning."
Without getting up, Sid dragged the armchair round to its normal position.
"I hope you haven't been drinking. I don't want you going into pubs at your age. You know that, don't you?"
"I ought to. You tell me every time I go out."
They say Fenris breeds cold souls. I wasn't certain how much of the sentiment was poetic license, but the frozen world definitely left something cold in the blood of its sons and daughters. For better or worse, we are all children of our home worlds. Anika wielded her authority with curious ease. I was never a wordsmith to match my brother's, so I found her presence difficult to describe. Galileo would say it best, that she commanded authority with an economy of effort. The night we set foot on chess, I heard him thinking it again, even as I watched Anika work.
Everything that has a beginning is subject to the law of impermanence, simply because it has a beginning. Thus, human life too undergoes the process of birth and death. It is subject to the continual process of transformation, arising, subsiding, arising, subsiding. And so we ask ourselves, is that really all there is? Surely somewhere there must be something lasting.